Morning. Good morning. All right. Sit down. Thank you. Let's go to book of Ephesians chapter 6. Sometimes when you know you're going to preach in chapel, I can't speak for the rest of the men. I'm just going to speak for me. You get nervous and you're like, man, I got to preach in front of all those theologians, all those Instagram and Facebook theologians that are always quoting what they believe and asking all their questions and doing nothing but gendering strife. And, you know, and I get a little nervous, like, my goodness, I mean, those people, they got 4 likes and 10 followers, you know, and I'm so nervous to preach in front of those people. But today, honestly, about a month ago, the Lord spoke to me as I knew I was going to preach and about this subject. When you come to Bible college, young person, you didn't just enroll for classes, you enrolled in warfare. And much of what is Bible college is spiritual warfare. People say, why is it that Bible college is so hard? It's so difficult. I don't think it's the academics. I don't think really it's the livelihood, living in dorms and so on like that. I went to a state school for a semester, and I saw what the dorms were like. And trust me, I mean, if you think these are bad, you need to go to the pig pen, which is the state university. And so it's not really the dorms, the livelihood. It's not the food. Everybody, any college I know, complains about their food. It's not the academics. It's not really the schedule. Some of you had harder schedules in high school than you do in college. It is the fact that the devil knows that in this room right here, there is some great potential. There's incredible great potential. And as the potential gathers and meets to hear God's word and to be taught and to be instructed and to be exhorted, the devil then must go to his little toolkit there and say, okay, I need to stop some of those young people from ever reaching their potential. Ephesians chapter 6 talks to us about the armor of God. And I want you to go there and go to verse 10. And I'm going to be just kind of going verse by verse. I've got some points. But I want to talk to you today on the devil is wiling. The devil is wiling. He's not wilding, he's wiling. The wiles of the devil. Look at Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10. It says, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Let's just stop there right there and realize that my strength is in the Lord. My strength is not in me. It is not willpower. It is not, I'm going to fake it till I make it. My strength is in the Lord. That right there may be one of the reasons why our young people are failing. Maybe why young people in this room right here, why you are not where you need to be in Christ because you're trying to do it on your own. My strength is in the Lord. He said, my brethren, be strong in the Lord, in the power of his might. Stop trying to do it your way. Do it his way. Stop trusting yourself. Trust him. And so Bible college is spiritual warfare. It is engaging at a different level. As pastor says, that with different levels come different devils. And when you made that commitment, because you're going to be a missionary, or a pastor, or a youth pastor, or a Christian school teacher, the target on your back just got bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger. But a lot of it, we give up and we quit because we're doing it in our own strength. We're doing it by our own might. Look at verse 11. Put on the whole armor of God that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Now, he is about to explain what this armor of God is. What it is and how you're supposed to wear it and carry it. But look, the preparation before he tells you what the armor of God is. He says, not your might, his might. Second, I think it's really interesting, and he says it twice. It's not what is convenient for you. It's not the armor that fits. It's not the armor that you like. It's not the armor that's in style. He said, put on the whole armor. The whole armor. I want you to go down, and would you look in verse 13, wherefore take unto you the whole armor of God. So we're looking here as he's prepared to show us what the armor of God is. He says, do it in God's might, God's power. Then he says, put on the whole armor of God. We have a lot of young men and ladies in this room this morning that you are vulnerable, because as the day goes by at 11:35 in the morning, you are vulnerable because you have not today put on the whole armor of God. There's been no scripture that's entered your mind. There's been no prayer that has gone from your lips to God. So therefore, you are a sitting duck. You are vulnerable this morning. You're vulnerable to Satan telling you something, to putting a thought in your head. You're vulnerable today to being discouraged. Listen to me. You put on the whole armor of God. Not what is convenient, not what I like, not what I want to do. You put on the whole armor of God. That is partly why we have so many failures in the Christian life. People only want to do what is convenient for them. It's only Sunday morning and I'm good. No, Sunday night. It's only, you know, let me get 5 verses out of the scriptures, but let's scroll hours upon hours on social media nonsense. He says, put on the whole armor of God. He goes on and he gets ready to explain the whole armor of God. And then he says this. He says, wherefore, take unto the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. And then look at verse 11. Let's go back to 11. He says, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. What is the wiles? The wiles is the devil's traps. Matter of fact, I like the one word. It's his strategies. It's his snares. The devil, listen, the devil knows that everybody in here has a different, and listen, has a different weakness in their life. I tell the young men in my division, when you preach, preach your weakness. Don't preach your strength. Preach how the Lord helped you through something. Preach how the scriptures helped you with something. Preach how prayer life changed you. Don't go up there and boast about how good you are and how bad everybody else is. But he says the wiles. Interesting. It's the works of the flesh. It's the wiles of the devil. The opposite would be the fruit of the Spirit. The devil always has more than just one thing coming at you. The devil laughs at many of you. The devil says, you're in Bible college, and I am never going to get you into lust. I'm never going to get you into an addiction. I'm never going to get you into some awful, wicked sin. But hey, let me just get you to not manage your money right, and you'll be withdrawn from school. His strategies. Hey, let me get you just to oversleep and not go to class, and fail out, and they got to ask you to leave, and you become a casualty. The devil laughs at so many of us here. We're Bible-toting, prayer, you know, praying people, and yet he says, I'm never going to get him with a lustful woman, but he'll get you with a job. He'll get you to look at money as your savior, your money as an all in all. How many young men have left this place and have sold out the ministry for a dollar bill? The devil laughs at us like, he's like, you all think you're so smart. You think $100,000 is a lot of money. And the devil says, I got you. Wiles, wiles, wiles. Things like, I just go some other things. The devil says, man, you want to talk about, you want to have a big church someday and preach great revivals. You want to do camps. And yet you are, you're very undisciplined. You go to bed whenever you want. I feel like a dad telling you guys, get to bed. You know, you're very undisciplined. You never tell your body what to do. Your body tells you what to do constantly. And you stay up philosophizing with all the fools on the dorms about garbage you shouldn't be talking about. And then in the morning, you can't get up. You never make it to ministry. And the devil laughs and says, yeah, now that's a real dumb one right there. That one just stayed up too late, never made it to his ministry. That one was up too late, and now he's tired, and he can't go soul winning because he's weak and he's tired. The wiles. The devil has strategies. He has traps. So many times we think, we fear, right? We fear the addictions. We fear the pornography. We fear those things, the adultery, the woman. We fear all that. And the devil says, go ahead and keep fearing. Don't go to class next hour. I'm not going to get you with another woman, but hey, let me offer you a job that'll take you out of the will of God. The wiles of the devil. I want this morning to just share with you four wiles that everybody in here is going to be exposed to, and four wiles of the devil that everybody in here needs to be on guard. And everybody in here needs to be on guard. Brother John, recently I was talking to somebody, and I said, man, how many men in their late 40s or 50s, after they've had a stellar time in ministry, a stellar record in ministry, mess it up in their late 40s or 50s? I don't want to be that guy. I don't want to be that guy. But how many young people never made it into ministry? Because they listened to the wiles of the devil. Wile number one is doubt. Is doubt. He made Eve doubt. In Matthew chapter 4, he tried to get the Lord Jesus Christ to doubt. And he'll always come around, and it always begins with his word. And he'll say, if you, like in Ecclesiastes chapter 5, where it talks about making vows to God, he says, say not thou before the angel that it was an error. And a lot of times the devil comes and says, you weren't really called. It was emotional. The music was going on. Here am I. And you raised your hand. Come on, you know you're never going to be a pastor, a preacher. You can't preach. No one listens to you. And the devil is constantly filling your mind with doubt. It's interesting that in verse 14 of Ephesians chapter 6, one of the very first things that we're supposed to put on is truth. Truth. And interesting as well that when the devil comes, he usually comes around getting you to doubt truth. That's why your social media presence does matter. That's why your time in the Word of God does matter. We live in a society where, you know, truth is, there's no absolutes. And it's relevant to your situation. And your truth is not my truth. And you can have your own truth. I think the Bible says, thy word is truth. And so there's that doubt. There's a lot of young people in here. Brother Hiles would say, when in doubt, don't. There's the saying that says, don't doubt in the night what God showed you in the light. And there's a lot of young people in here. And this is, it's just a revolving door sometimes in all Bible colleges of young people where the devil seeds doubt into your life. And then you walk away for a little bit. It's just for a semester. Just for a year. I'm talking to young people right now. You doubt your call. Now, you were sure the night it happened. You talked to your pastor. You talked to your mom and dad. Everything was great. And then all of a sudden, you no longer preach. You no longer teach. You no longer are involved. You no longer are trying to help anybody. It's me. It's me. It's me, oh Lord, just me. I mean, nobody else. But the devil brings that doubt. The devil wants you to second guess every decision you've ever made. That, by the way, the devil does two things. Revelation chapter 12, he is the accuser of the brethren. Listen, but one of his jobs is he tries to deceive and put doubt into the unbelievers. And I will say this, I know I'm in a Bible college, but there are young people in here. One of the doubts you have is about your salvation. It's not today. It has been for months, for years. And it may be that Satan is using one of his greatest tools with the unbelievers in causing you, listen, to be deceived into thinking you were saved or you had a salvation moment or somebody told you you were saved. And then he accuses the brethren, the Bible says. He accuses you and says, man, if people only knew what you're really like, if people really know what you say, hey, if people really know, man, what a hypocrite you are. He brings in that doubt. Let me talk to all you dating couples or engaged couples. Man, as you get closer and closer to that wedding day, you're going to look at her and she's going to look at him and say, man, am I ready for this? Am I ready? Man, and there's going to be that doubt. But you know what? You know what overcomes doubt? Love. And you say, yeah, you know what? I love him. I love him. The four wiles of the devil that every college young person ought to look out. Number one is doubt. Number two is discouragement. Discouragement. So much of discouragement is us focusing on our situation, our circumstance, what's going wrong in my life. You know, when you're invested in other people and you see how messed up other people are, man, bro, you go home happy. Hey, man, today I get to disciple a family at 5 o'clock. Man, all week I get these phone calls from different people and teenagers. And you know why so many of us are discouraged? Because you're looking at the mirror and the only one you see with problems is you. Dad, and you're ugly. Amen. Every man in here needs to have his ugly moment. You just need to go to a mirror and say, I'm ugly. I'm ugly, Lord. I'm ugly. Send me somebody who likes ugly, and the Lord will. Psalms 42:11, why art thou cast down, O my soul, and why art thou disquieted within me? Hope thou in God, for I shall yet praise him who is the health of my countenance and my God. Interesting, it says that God is the health of your countenance. Man, when God is your hope, and when you're right with God, you know what? It shows on your face. And when you're discouraged and down, guess what? It shows on your face. But these are wiles that he brings in, discouragement. By the way, if it can go wrong, it will go wrong in Bible college. Your church will lose a pastor. Your parents will have trouble. Your siblings will go off in the world. You'll get sick. You'll lose your job, you'll wreck your car, your girlfriend will break up, your boyfriend will break up. If it can go wrong in Bible college, guess what? It will. It will. You say, well, yeah, that's happened to me. What do I do? Hope thou in God. What do I get up? And I say, you know what? I can focus on all of me. Man, there's a lot of people out there that are in worse sorts than I am. So many times I think of the excuses people make for not going to church. And then I'll see some of the people that go into First Baptist on a Sunday. And I'm like, man, there's no excuse. There's no excuse. There's a man in our church, and I'm not mentioning his name, but that man struggled with cancer now, I think 7 or 8 years. And that man gets up at 4 o'clock in the morning to drive a bus for the homeless up in Chicago. And I'm thinking, isn't there a younger man that can do that? Instead of a man that's struggling with leukemia and brain cancer, and he's doing that? Discouragement. You might be discouraged today. Yeah, you know what? Everybody's entitled to a bad day. All right? Some of you have made it a bad life. Yeah, you could have a day where you're like, oh, man, I'm not feeling that great. Or that person really annoys me. Lord Jesus, please keep that demon from me. Amen? Or you got that roommate that gets up early in the morning and loves to sing. And you're like, I'm going to stuff it. I'm going to. Amen. Or you got the roommate that needs every light in the room on, right? She's like chasing vampires or something. But you know what? You say, I'm having a tough time today. I'm a little discouraged. Hey, listen to me. Make sure that your discouragement doesn't last a lifetime. Make sure that you look at that and say, is this what the devil's trying to bring into my life? He uses the wile of doubt, the wile of discouragement. Then this one's a big one. One of his wiles is a distraction. Luke chapter 14, verse 18. And they all with one consent began to make excuse. Sounds like your dorm room. Sounds like your bus route. I can't go visiting. I got the sniffles. I can't go visiting. Blah, blah. And they all began with one excuse. And what the devil does is he wants to distract you by not keeping the main thing the main thing. Hey, listen, I'm glad you got to make hot dogs for the bus route. But you don't need all day Saturday to make hot dogs. Unless you're actually turning out the weenies. I mean, you don't need all day. Hey, I'm glad your Sunday school classroom needs to be decorated, needs to be prepared, as it should be. But listen, sometimes the devil says, hey, look at here, and we follow. We're like, yeah, and we forget the main thing that is the main thing. What is the main thing? The Bible says the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost. Everybody in here needs to be after the main thing. The main thing is the main thing. It is the salvation of souls. And I want you to look at the distractions that you have all around you. I heard a quote recently said something about, if you want to see angry people, confront them with the idols that are around them. Confront their phone, their social media. Confront their pocketbook. Confront their relationships. And they'll get angry. Why? Those are the idols that we have in our lives. And so there's distraction. Keep the main thing, the main thing. You say, but keep the main thing, the main thing. The devil will come to you and he'll say, hey, take a semester off. And in some cases, I've seen people do it. Or he'll say, hey, you know what? This job here, it's a great job. It'll keep you away from ministry for a little bit, but you know what? You'll be fine. You may or may not. I'll tell you that in my experience, most have not. So he brings all these things into our lives, doubt, discouragement, distractions, and then the last one. Go to Ephesians chapter 5, verse 16. And I'll be done. Would you read it with me? Redeeming the time. And the last while he uses delay. Listen, we had a great class on Monday in the youth ministry class. Man, that the brain juices got flowing there with our young people and our students. And man, it was awesome. And what should have been an hour lecture on your year-long program turned into awesome ideas. And so I want to talk to every young man in here. You keep putting it off and keep putting it off and keep putting it off. And you can criticize the fact that there's all the gray hairs on the platform, but we're waiting for some of you guys to stop messing around, stop playing around, stop taking ministry seriously, and get out and do something. The delay. Man, look, if you are bilingual in here, you can be out on the mission field as soon as you graduate. You don't have language school. You could go to these countries and create your own business and work. You like tortillas. I mean, that's, so they're everywhere. You like beans and eggs, amen? All right? And you could be out there in no time. And listen to me, we are waiting too long to get to the world. There's 8.8 something billion people in the world, and we're waiting because we're playing. And we're waiting because we want to make sure that our life is perfect and all set up, and we've got our savings plans in our home, and we've got the, you know, got our parachute plan in case something goes wrong. Delay, delay, delay. Every time you fail a class, delay. And every time you're withdrawn, delay. And every time that that girl or young man keeps your attention, delay. And the world is waiting and saying, when will you come? I just got back from Peru. Man, we preached to 240 kids at a camp. And I was with three missionaries. Listen, 13 churches. They could use another 100 missionaries. Last night, I heard Brother Bushy say that we just started sponsoring our first missionary to Ethiopia. And it burdened my heart. The wiles of the devil. Doubt, discouragement, distraction, and delay. Why? Because you will not put on the whole armor of God. You make yourself vulnerable. And in making yourself vulnerable, listen, you then become dispensable. The devil sits back. He's laughing at us right now. How quickly and how soon we fall in his wiles. Would you bow your head and close your eyes, please? Would you ask the Lord Jesus, as the Bible says in Psalms 139, search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts, my heart. See if there be any wicked thing in me. And Why don't you just look in your life and see what wiles of the devil, the strategies, the traps he's placing in your life. Doubt, discouragement, distraction, delay. What it is you need to get out of your life so that you can be that productive servant of God. So you can get to the field, you can get to that pulpit, you can get to that town. You can get to that city, you can get to that young person that is waiting on you to finish Bible college.